Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
What's up, guys? It's Harrison Phillips here, and you're listening to Nate and the Fellows on the Circle the Wagons podcast on Buffalo Rumblings Podcast Network. Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. Go Bills, baby.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Hey, hey, let's go Buffalo. Hey, hey, let's go Buffalo.
The Bills make me wanna shout.
Welcome to the Circling the Wagons podcast, a podcast discussing the Bills all year round with interviews, news, recaps, and insightful fan discussion. Most times. Here's your host and lifelong Bills fan, Nate.
Hey, Bills fans, welcome to this recap episode of Circling the Wagons, a Buffalo Rumblings podcast. I'm your host, Nate. Thank you so much for joining us. We are going to discuss the Bills' win today against the Miami Dolphins in Miami, 31-28, to go 2-0 overall and to go 2-0 in the division. We'll go over our thoughts on the game, some stats of the game, our plays of the game, and as always, our Wall of Famers and Wall of Shamers with some help from our amazing followers on Twitter. We'll also do our weekly podcast giveaway, but first, I'm joined by my co-hosts, John and Mike. Fellas, it was an interesting game today. The Bills kind of started out like last week against the Jets, where they were dominant in the beginning, and then they kind of allowed the other team to get into it a little bit more, except this week, the Bills' defense just couldn't seem to stop the opposing team's offense like it had last week. So this was interesting. I mean, we can't even begin to discuss the game without discussing Josh Allen. Josh Allen just had an absolutely phenomenal game. For all the people that thought he couldn't have a 300-yard game last season, he not only had a 300-yard game last week, but he had a 400-yard game this week, and he was just lights out. He was the guy that you would hope that your team drafted 7th overall back 3 years ago, and it was just a tremendous game by him. Another come-from-behind win for Josh Allen to add to another notch in his belt in game-winning fourth quarters, and I don't know. I was excited to see it. Obviously, you hope your defense plays a little bit better against, you know, a team like the Dolphins, a Ryan Fitzpatrick-led offense, which at any point they could score 11 points like they did last week against the Patriots, or they could score 28 points like they did. And even at the end, you know, the Bills' defense was struggling to contain Fitzmagic, but they ended the game. They got the W. What were you guys' thoughts on the game? I'll start with you, John. Did you kind of see it the way I did?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely hurt missing Edmonds and Milano. I think Miami definitely took advantage of the middle of the field there with Gesicki and some of their other play calling. But they did hang in there. They had the goal line stop. They forced some field goals. It wasn't a total disaster. And then obviously the offense came through in the end, even though they had a weak opening to the second half.
Yeah, absolutely. Great points. What about you, Mike?
It's just a strange game. Really fun to watch. I mean, we could talk about the offense, the defense, Josh Allen, just a lot of different things going on, right? The CBS power outage, the lightning delay. It's just a strange game. But the overriding thing for me to take away is like just it's fun to be a Bills fan. And we're all lifelong Bills fans. And it's nice feeling like no matter what happens, hey, we're in it and we're going to win it. Great feeling.
Yeah, there's always the ability now. That's a great point. Both of you guys brought up good points. Mike, I'll start with yours about the ability to always be in a game. I mean, last year, pretty much every year before last year, except for when Drew Bledsoe was quarterback, if the Bills got behind big, they didn't have the horses in the barn to win a shootout or to win a come from behind when they got down by too many points. You know, today wasn't quite that game, but it gave you great optimism to say that if they're down by, you know, a touchdown or two touchdowns at any given point, they have the ability to score. And John, you know, you brought up a great point about Milano and Edmonds being out. I mean, we were kind of looking at that game as, this game is like, well, you know, let's see if it matters. Let's see how good the Dolphins actually are. Well, they just tore apart the middle of the field. I mean, the Bills couldn't stop anything defensively. I mean, Mike Gesicki, the Dolphins tight end, had an incredible game, and he made the Bills defense look pretty bad. And I thought Tyrell Dodson, the Bills starting middle linebacker with Edmonds out, I thought he had a really good game for being a second-year player, undrafted rookie out of college. And in his second year, his first start, and I thought he looked pretty darn good. But even then, it just wasn't enough. You just don't realize how good those two guys are, except for when they're both not in the game. And we mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. We did our one thing that we're looking forward to in the 2020 season and one thing that we're worried about in the 2020 season. I said one of the things that I hope continues to happen is the Bills were had the fourth lowest amount of lost games by starting players. And you're talking about two lost games with Edmonds and Milano, and those were two very important games that were lost today, and it showed in the defense. And, you know, as good as the Bills' secondary was, man, they just couldn't stop Fitzmagic and the Gesicki, that little connection they had going there. The power outage was just, it was so weird that would happen on a game like today, and I don't remember the last time that happened. And then, like you said, Mike, it kind of went to then there was that lightning delay. It was just, what a weird game. I don't think it ended till about 5:30 Eastern time, or about 5 o'clock, I guess. Just a weird chain of events. But yeah, man, gotta hand it to the Bills offense. And Brian Daboll called a great game. The Bills running game finally got going a little bit. Josh Allen didn't have to run all the time just to make the offense, you know, actually spark some offensive production. And
yeah, it's kind of nice that you don't have to, like, you're getting towards the end of the game and you're like counting on your defense to get a pick six to be able to get enough points to win the game, right?
A pick six and then an onside kick and then a touchdown with no timeouts remaining.
and every single touchdown has to be a 2-point conversion also. It can't just be an extra point. You're like, okay, we're only down by 20 with 5 minutes left. All right. If we score now... There's plenty of time. Okay, we scored once. All right, there's plenty of time to score another. Oh, we missed a 2-point conversion. All right, we're just done. That was almost like what it used to be to make the playoffs, like when we were in the hunt. Okay. Well, we were in the hunt, but we were like at the very end of the hunt, you know, like 6-8 or whatever.
On the second screen, yeah.
It's like, no, keep scrolling.
Teams in the hunt.
Teams in the hunt. Yeah, no, it was good. Let's go right into our stats of the game. Stats of the game brought to you by our TeePublic store.
Three words for you. Treat, yo, sell.
If you guys haven't checked out our TeePublic store, at teepublic.com/stores/CTWpod, we put up 6 new designs last week. We're putting up 2 new designs this week for you know, I don't like to get too political on this podcast, but there's a duo I'm voting for this season. And it is Allen Diggs 2020. And I know you've seen the yard signs and stuff like that. A lot of people in Buffalo are doing that. Well, we're doing a t-shirts on it. And our slogan for this t-shirt is "Make touchdowns great again." And Allen Diggs' connection, it was the first time that Stephon Diggs had a touchdown as a Buffalo Bill. And it was really cool to watch. So again, check that out. It's at teepublic.com/stores/CTWpod. And the Allen Diggs designs will be 35% off, so $13 t-shirts for those specific designs. So let's go right into Josh Allen, the man of the day, the man of the hour, the king of the fourth. Josh Allen, 24 for 35, 417 yards, 4 touchdowns, and 0 interceptions for a completion percentage of 68.6%. So just an unbelievable game by Josh Allen. No turnovers this game. You know, he took, I think it was like 46 attempts last week to get over 300 yards. He had about 10 less attempts. His average, Buffalo Rumblings had this. Matt Warren had a good article that you should check out. But he mentioned that the Bills, Allen threw for 11.8 yards per attempt, which is unreal because it's around 7 or 8 yards per attempt is really, really good. So you're talking about that guy, Josh Allen, crushing it by about 4 yards per attempt. This was from at YOFan1970. He took a screenshot of a scream on NFL Game Day that said, quarterbacks with 650-plus pass yards, 70-plus completion percentage, and zero interceptions in the first two games of the season in the Super Bowl era. You have Josh Allen this year, 2020. You have Patrick Mahomes last year in 2019. You have Drew Brees the year before that in 2018. And you have Peyton Manning doing it in 2010 as a Indianapolis Colt. So that's amazing. that's a good crowd to be in. Not going to lie. That's good to see. As far as stats go for Josh Allen, let's keep it on Josh Allen. He was tied for third in team history for the highest passing yardage in one game. The highest is Drew Bledsoe in 2002 with 463 yards. The next was Joe Ferguson in 1983 with 419 yards. And then Drew Bledsoe again in 2002 with 417 yards. And Josh Allen tied Drew Bledsoe's third highest game total today with his 417-yard performance. Great game again by the Buffalo Bills starting quarterback. So let's go into the Bills rushing game. Here's my quiz for you guys today. I think John went first last time. How many rushes did Josh Allen have this week? Now, mind you, last week he had 14 rush attempts. How many did Josh Allen have this week?
I will say 9.
John?
8.
John's right. John's closer, at least. He's only four rush attempts today for Josh Allen. So everyone, including me, that was worried that every game was going to include like how many times he was going to have to rush, either scrambling out of the pocket or design runs. And he only had 4 today. He had that one really good run today where it was a 16-yard rush. He had a first down, and it was a design run call. It was a great call. And he slid at the end. Like, I swear to God, like, he actually slid at the end. He didn't take a shot to the head. He didn't get taken out at the legs. He slid, no contact. Great run by Josh Allen. That's one of the things that, like, you can't take for granted with Josh Allen is he improves not only season to season, it appears, but also from game to game, he can learn these things. I mean, how many quarterbacks have we gone through that just, like, you know, they just never learned to slide, ever? Or they never, you know, learned how to hit receivers in stride. Josh Allen was hitting guys. He is almost perfecting that throw, you know, where it's like it's down the field, it's across the field, and he just drops it in a breadbasket to the receiver. He did that at least, I think, once to Stephon Diggs, once to Cole Beasley. He's just so accurate on those touch passes now. So good. Devin Singletary was the Bills' leading rusher today. He had 10 carries for 56 yards. Zach Moss was the second on the team, 8 carries for 37 yards. Both Devin Singletary and Zach Moss were over 4 yards per carry. Devin Singletary was 5.6 yards per carry. Zach Moss was 4.6 yards per carry. So the Bills getting the job done on the ground when they needed to. Stephon Diggs. Now, Stephon Diggs had such a great game. It was a top 10 game for Bills receivers all time. He had 8 receptions on 13 targets for 153 yards and 1 touchdown. Unbelievable. He didn't take nearly as many shots today either. Even though he did end up on underneath the Dolphins bench on that one play, he was crushing it. He had an amazing game. This is why you trade away your first round pick for a guy like that can just change the game altogether. And then you had another great game from John Brown. I mean, this would have been a great game from John Brown last season. 4 receptions on 6 targets for 82 yards. He had a touchdown. He had that one long touchdown at the end in the fourth quarter to put the Bills up by 10 points. You had Cole Beasley, had 5 receptions on 6 targets for 70 yards. Isaiah McKenzie, 2 receptions for 47 yards on 2 targets. He had that one 46-yard reception that we didn't get to see because the game was blacked out. Dawson Knox had one. We'll talk about Dawson Knox later, too. 1 reception for 38 yards. Devin Singletary, 2 receptions for 20 yards. The Bills starting to get the screen game going. I don't know if you guys have noticed that. That was almost non-existent last year. We kept wondering if it was going to happen, if it could happen. And this season, it appears that they're starting to finally get it going and starting to use these dynamic running backs like Devin Singletary and Zach Moss, guys that have the ability to evade tacklers, make a guy miss, and get some extra yardage. And then you have Gabriel Davis had the 1 reception for 6 yards and that 1 touchdown to put the Bills up in the fourth quarter. And then you have Reggie Gilliam with 1 reception for 1 yard, 1 touchdown, his first touchdown as a professional football player. And that was good to see. That was what the Bills started off with, their first touchdown of the game. Now let's go over to the Dolphins side of the ball. Fitzmagic was 31 for 47, 328 yards and two touchdowns. Miles Gaskin was a leading rusher for the Dolphins, seven carries for 46 yards for 6.6 yards per carry. Matt Breida, seven carries for 37 yards, 5.3 yards per carry. Kind of surprised that the Dolphins didn't run the ball more, but they didn't need to because they were passing the ball just fine. Mike Gesicki, going over to the receiving side of the ball, Mike Gesicki just had a monster game against the Bills. Eight receptions on 11 targets for 130 yards and one touchdown. The Bills just had absolutely no answers for Mike Gesicki, whether it was Levi Wallace, whether it was Dean Marlowe. Nobody could cover him. Obviously, AJ Klein couldn't do it. The Bills were trying everything, and they just weren't having any success. Isaiah Ford was the next leading receiver for the Dolphins, seven receptions on nine targets for 76 yards. And then Devontae Parker, next up there, five receptions on eight targets for 53 yards and a touchdown. So we're going to take a quick commercial break. After that, we'll go into our plays of the game, our Wall of Famers and Wall of Shamers, and our giveaways for today's podcast. So stick around, and we'll be right back.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator. There are a lot of questions around what you eat. How is it made? Where does it come from? What are the impacts of its packaging? The What You're Eating podcast is here to help you understand how your food gets to your plate and put into context the full impact of the food you eat, whether that's on animals, the planet, or other people. Join host Jerusha Klemperer, director of Foodprint, as she dives deeper to uncover the problems with the industrial food system and offer examples of more sustainable practices. She provides practical advice for how you can help support a better ecosystem through the food that you buy and the systemic changes you push for. From practical conversations with farmers and chefs to discussions with policy experts on the barriers to sustainability, the What You're Eating podcast covers more than just the what. It covers everything from the why to the how of the food you love to eat. Listen and subscribe to What You're Eating at foodprint.org/whatyoureeating or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back to Circling the Wagons, a Buffalo Rumblings podcast. This is our recap show. I'm your host, Nate. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm with my co-hosts, John and Mike, to recap this victory, this 31-28 victory. Do you guys see, I know that there is, I mentioned to you guys this before we started recording that, I was listening to a post-game show and they were a little negative, not completely negative, but saying that, when they come from behind against a good team, basically saying, then I'll be interested. Then I'll actually pay attention. It was a decent win. To me, I guess I kind of see the steps of becoming that team that can really beat a good team, because in order to do that, I mean, the Bills offense has just been lackluster for so many years. I think we actually have the offense to keep up with almost any team, that's around there. I mean, the Patriots could only score 24 points last week. The Bills scored 31 points, So I think that the Bills' offense is finally good. Now, once we get Tremaine Edmonds and Matt Milano back, hopefully this next week against the Rams, I think the Bills can have almost a complete team offensively and defensively. And I think special teams is up there too. What, are you guys kind of looking at this from an optimistic standpoint? Are you guys cautiously optimistic, or is it still a let's wait and see? Prove it to me when you play a team like the 2-0 Rams next week.
Yeah, I mean, any other Bills offense of the last like 18 years wouldn't have won today, right? So I think you have to give them credit.
I think you've got to win these first two games. They're divisional opponents, and then I think they're the two probably the weakest teams the Bills will face all year, maybe with the exclusion of the Broncos, right? But otherwise, the Bills have a heck of a tough schedule this year. So you've got to win these games where your opponent is inferior. So I'm just week to week hoping to enjoy watching the games. And so far, the Bills have really put on a show, and it's been very exciting. But I will definitely be more optimistic when they beat a higher tier opponent. I think next week's going to be a tough challenge, but fun game to watch. Hopefully they can pull it out, but definitely a higher caliber opponent.
I think that's the last step in this process of becoming like a top 10 team in the league or a top 12 team in the league, is the ability to beat those teams. Because last year, I mean, they only beat one team, I believe, with a winning record, and they went 10-6. And that one team that had a winning record was like the 9-7 Titans, right? And the Titans didn't even have, you know, Ryan Tannehill playing for them, starting for them when the Bills played them. So it's like the Bills definitely need to prove against a good team. But I'm optimistic. I'm sure all Bills fans out there are optimistic. I mean, I did a poll on Twitter before the game saying, you know, the Bills were 5.5-point, you know, favorites. Where do you see the Bills playing? You know, I gave the options, you know, cover the spread, you know, win but by less, by five or less, or lose. And 74% of Bills fans had the Bills covering, you know, the spread. So winning by six or more, essentially. And they didn't do that. And, you know, but again, not pessimistic, just, yeah, let's see it against a good team. But I don't know. I was happy with today. I was happy with the way the game ended. Let's go into our sweep.
I'm thrilled about today, right? But they do play Rams just a couple years off of a Super Bowl appearance. Raiders are always tough. Titans, you mentioned. They play the Chiefs, right, with Mahomes. The Pats twice. The Seahawks. The 49ers. Steelers. Like, incredibly tough schedule. So we got to keep winning these games.
All right, let's go into our sweet, sassy, molassy plays of the game.
Sweet, sassy, molassy. Get out the checkbook and pay grandma for the rubdown.
All right, John, let's start off with you. What is your sweet, sassy, molassy play of the game in today's victory?
I'm going to go with the Josh Allen to Gabriel Davis touchdown pass to put him up ahead.
Allen has time. Now here they come. Throwing to the end zone. Was it caught? Touchdown! Gabriel Davis with an amazing catch back in the end zone to put Buffalo back in front.
Cannot believe, did he catch this? If he did, that is incredible. And I don't see any movement. When the ball hits the ground, in my eyes, call the touchdown, and there is nothing that I see that says that that will be overturned. What an effort from the rookie out of UCF. Unbelievable.
Amazing catch by the rookie. I like that they've been using him the first couple weeks despite all these other receivers that they have. And then it also gives, you know, the whole drive was great. You know, Josh Allen's another fourth quarter comeback. It was just, you know, really good. Loved it.
Mike, what about you?
Yeah, I agree. The Bill, at that point, it was 17-20 Dolphins, right? Third quarter, or it was third and goal from the six, rather. And Allen's scrambling around, right? And it was such a bang-bang catch. Like, you think, geez, I hope he got it. You had to really slow it down. Like, there's no way. But, geez, what body control to all the way to the ground. It was awesome. Prettiest catch you'll ever see. And then to make it 24-20 at that point. It's awesome.
I'm going to go. I did love that play. That was one of my favorite plays of the game, but I'm going to go a little bit in a different path. I'm going to go defensively. And we talked about how the Bills struggled defensively today, but on one play in the third quarter, the Bills were up 17-13, and there was a huge fourth and goal stop on the 2-yard line to give the ball back to the Bills.
And once again, on fourth down, spread formation. Flores rolling the dice. The pass is incomplete. Wow! Right through the hands of Preston Williams, and Fitzpatrick can't believe it.
And it was such a big play. It ended up being a big play because the Dolphins didn't score then. If they had scored, they would have gone up 27-17. And you don't know at that point, do the Bills actually win the game? You know, 31-28, you have no idea how it ends up without that stop. And it was a huge, Oliver had a big, first and goal stop on that drive. Oliver, who we thought was injured at one point with a leg injury, and he ended up coming back in, was huge on that drive. And then Levi Wallace, I know that the receiver on the Dolphins dropped the ball, but Levi Wallace, it appeared, had him dead to rights and had him tackled so that he wouldn't have made the first down if he had caught the ball. So I thought that was a great stop by the defense. As much as they struggled today, their goal line defense was really good in that drive. All right, let's go into our Wall of Famers and Wall of Shamers for today's game. John, actually, Mike, why don't you start us off with who are you going to put on your Wall of Fame in today's win?
Wall.
I think it starts and ends with Josh Allen. He followed up his best game last week with an even better one this week. I saw Diggs as an elite receiver. I think top 10 in the league now. First time I saw that from him as a Bill. And I would say Brian Daboll keeping his foot on the gas in the fourth quarter is awesome to see. Haven't seen that in 20 years. So those three really stuck out to me, but I'd go Josh Allen.
Love it. John, what about you?
Yeah, definitely Josh Allen. 400 yards, 4 touchdowns, another fourth quarter comeback. I love him.
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
What's not to love about Josh Allen? Yeah, it's got to go. I got to go with Josh Allen too. I mean, how can you not? I mean, the guy's on pace to, you know, just have an outstanding season. So there was another stat that I saw today as well. Josh Allen leads the league in passing yardage after 2 weeks. 57 for 81, 729 yards, 6 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, 122.9 quarterback rating. That's insane. If you were to extrapolate this, his season, he would have 5,832 yards. So almost a 6,000 yard season. So, which, you know, he was struggling to get to 4,000 yards the first couple of seasons. So let's just skip the 4,000 yard milestone. Let's skip the 5,000 yard milestone. Let's just go for 6,000 yards. How about that? Wall of.
Do you remember that one running play Allen had where he was like, blowing up a couple guys like Tecmo Super Bowl.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
That was a good play.
That he had like he
the one where he fumbled at the end.
So they got it back.
Well, isn't that the one where they blew the whistle early and he looked like he could still make another 4 or 5 yards? They just wanted to protect him, and then he fumbled it. Yeah, he used a truck stick on that one.
Wild.
Remember the Madden truck stick? Just bowled over Kyle Van Noy. And I mean, these aren't small guys. It's not like he's doing this to DBs. Like these are like, you know, 250 pound linebackers. I got to give a shout out to in the Wall of Fame to obviously Stephon Diggs. He had an amazing game. Stephon Diggs was unbelievable today. His best game as a Bill by far in the two games that he's played as a Bill. But Tyrell Dodson has an amazing game. But let's really give it up to the people that were live feeding the game from the stadium when there was a power outage. So, like, there was a 20-minute span or so or whatever that we couldn't see any of the game on TV. And so Rachel Bush, Instagram, Jordan Poyer's wife, Rachel Bush was live streaming the game from her Instagram account. And then there was the Bills backers of Miami were live streaming the account too, which was actually a little bit better, in my opinion, it was a little bit better of a vantage point than Rachel Bush's. So that was pretty cool to see. It kept us in the loop. I watched the Stephon Diggs touchdown from their Instagram Live. So thanks to the Bills backers of Miami for doing that. Now let's go into our Wall of Shamer for the game. Who should we put on our Wall of Shame?
Shame. Shame. Shame.
So, John, I'll start with you on this one. Who do you have in your Wall of Shame?
I'm going to go with CBS, Nate, CBS. So, okay, you had a little power outage. Okay, they don't have, like, a battery backup or generator to run a couple of cameras.
What is this, the Amish? Like, why you can't, you don't have something figured out for like the most important things? I mean, people that work in electronics or power generators or whatever, like they have backups for the most important things, right? Like, so that if you lose your primary power, you're not completely screwed, right? CBS. So I'll just go into my wall of shame. I'll ask Mike his, but yeah, it has to go CBS. Can't broadcast shit. So Mike, who's your wall of fame or wall of shame?
I feel like the Bills defense, I know it just doesn't seem like they adjust coming out after halftime. And in this instance, we had a couple different stoppages, right, with the lightning delay. It felt like they come out flat, didn't adjust. And the linebackers, I know they're backups, but the pass defense, I thought, really hurt the Bills today.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. The defense was pretty rough today. The Dolphins had over 400 yards of total offense. That's not ideal. Especially when you're talking about a top five defense, supposedly. But again, with the Milano and Edmonds injuries, you just got to hope for next week against the Rams that at least one of the two is back and the Bills can kind of, you know, get back to a more of a dominating defense. I'm going to also give an honorable mention to Dawson Knox, because he did have that one catch for 38 yards that we missed because CBS wasn't broadcasting it. And then he had a fumble right after. So then that turned the ball over for the Bills after a good play. And then he dropped a pass for a first down in the second quarter. So just Dawson Knox just struggling so far this season. Struggled last game a little bit, struggling today a little bit. Again, I'm not low on him. I just think it's going to take a lot more time for him to develop than people think. People think that, you know, his second year as a tight end is going to be the breakout year. I think it's another year or two away. I'm still optimistic about him, but I mean, he's definitely showing his flaws so far in his second season. And let's just hope that he can, you know, improve like Josh Allen has and just make a strong push and clear up those ineptitudes. Let's go to...
Ineptitude sounds a little strong, Nate.
It's the only word I could think
it's
of.
It's like the 18th century schoolmaster chastising a pupil. Ineptitudes?
Jeez. Inefficiencies? How's that?
That's better.
Okay. Let's go over to our Twitter.
John, right? Am I wrong, John?
No, yeah, I agree with you. I mean, maybe just mistakes.
Mistakes, yeah, you're right. Mistakes, ineptitudes. Hey, wait, if it's a continued mistake that it has been happening since last season when he led the league for tight ends and drops, I feel like ineptitude is is it ineptitude a trait that you can't overcome? Because it sounds a little bit more permanent than when I say it like that, doesn't it? Okay, it's not, definitely not. Okay. Well, then I apologize. It's not that. It was a poor choice of words.
It's kind of like you criticize, inept does make it sound like it's the whole person that you despise.
I don't
despise. Rather than the one play.
That's fair. I take that back. I retract that statement. let's go into it. So after every game,
mistake.
Yeah. After every game on Twitter, I post, who's on your wall of fame and wall of shame for today's game. And, I pick out the best ones to read on the game recap. And first off, we have in Mike Taylor. Mike writes in, wall of fame, Josh Allen. I'm going to ding them for a slow second half start, but you can't argue with 417 yards and four touchdowns. Absolutely. Mike Taylor, and I think you brought up this point earlier too, Mike, was just the slow second half start. Now, you mentioned it having to do with the defense, and I believe the offense was right in the same boat. They just couldn't, they had a three and out to start the half, and they just couldn't get anything going up until about the fourth quarter. So, yeah, Mike nails it on the, hits the nail on the head right here. No ineptitudes from Mike on this tweet. Wall of shame, the receiving defense. There were so many yards after catch every time a Dolphins receiver caught the ball. Honorable mention, Mike freaking Gesicki. Good Lord. Yeah, wall of shame. Well, he's a wall of fame for the Dolphins podcast recap, but yeah, it was a tough one. Mike Gesicki just owned
the one both. Catch he had was incredible.
Was it the touchdown, the last touchdown that he had, where it was one-handed, or just another one-handed catch?
It was like 17-13 with 4 minutes left in the third at that point, and he was just the ball was behind him and over his head, and he just stuck his hand up. And
Yeah.
You don't remember that?
I remember it. I couldn't remember it. He had a couple of really good catches. That was the one across the field.
Insane.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. He was amazing today. It's like Travis Kelce out there. And, dude, I was, speaking of the game, I was really pissed when the Bills, you know, they got the ball back with 2 minutes left in the first half. And I'm like, oh, sweet. You know, like it's the 2 minute warning. The Bills get the ball back. Like this is a chance for them to go up another field goal, at least maybe a touchdown, you know, to end the first half. And not only did they not do anything on offense, they gave the ball back to Fitzpatrick, and Fitzpatrick marched the offense down the field to get that field goal, which luckily didn't end up making the difference in the game, but it could have easily made the difference in the game, you know, because they just moved. They were at their own, like, I don't know, 35, and they said they needed 39 yards. I'm like, oh, well, they have like 40 seconds. There's no way they're going to get 39 yards. And sure enough, like three plays later, and that might have been the Gesicki catch that you're talking about. One of the many. Mike Graham innocent Wall of Fame has to be Josh Allen. 400 plus yards, tied third all time for a Bills quarterback. Just waiting to see what the Allen haters say this week. Wall of Shame, the linebackers this week, and Levi Wallace. Linebackers were nowhere to be seen in the middle of the field. Play action hurt us. Absolutely. You guys, this is a new segment we should bring to the podcast every week, is what will the Josh Allen haters talk about this week? Because last week, even though, you know, the Bills won, even though Josh Allen had over 300 yards passing, he had a 70% completion percentage. They were just, the highlights were just him missing those two wide open passes in the end zone. One to John Brown, one to Dawson Knox. And this week, if I had to guess what the Josh Allen haters are going to talk about, I think it's going to be that one pass where he airmailed it, like that wasn't even close to John Brown going down the field. And then like two plays later, he actually hits John Brown in stride for that touchdown. So I'm guessing that's going to be the highlight that the Josh Allen haters from Pro Football Focus or whoever is out there are going to point to, because I really can't see another big play that he screwed up. Chris Oligret writes, Wall of Fame, Josh Allen dropping dimes all day long. Wall of Shame, the defense for giving up 328 yards and two touchdowns to Fitzmagic. Notable Wall of Shame mention, the broadcast going out. Richard W. Griswold is in. Wall of Fame, Josh Allen's deep passing game. Josh completed passes of 48, 47, 46, and 38 yards. Knox fumbled away the last. Brandon Bean, he also has his Wall of Fame. Brandon Bean acquired Diggs in the offseason for low first-round draft pick, 8 for 153 yards and a touchdown. Wall of Shame, the Miami defense fail versus the crossing pattern. Megatron is in.
Oh, it's a lady.
She writes, Wall of Fame, Josh and Diggs both showed up when it mattered. Wall of Shame, Dawson Knox can't keep dropping the ball and the defensive line. We showed we were hurting without Milano and Edmonds. Absolutely. Good call. Everyone's pretty much choosing Wall of Fame as Josh Allen. And then Stephon Diggs is in there as well. John Banks writes, Wall of Fame, Josh Allen's stat line. That's elite. Josh Allen had an elite stat line today. Wall of Shame, the third quarter, which we seem to not show up for dating back to last season. Excellent point by John. We talked about that a little bit earlier. The Bills, for some reason, I always thought that they normally game planned really well coming out of the half. They just seem so flat-footed the last couple of games, both on offense and defense. Luckily, the offense somehow managed to muster up some life in the fourth quarter. Dave Thorpe writes in, Wall of Fame, Josh and Diggs, as probably everyone will say. Yes, they did. But that fourth down goal line stand changed the game. Absolutely. Thank you, Dave. Is my sweet sassy Melassie play the game. Wall of Shame, Wallace got destroyed by Fitz, but some trash ref calls too. The McKenzie blindside block, you need to be blind to call that. The Hyde personal foul was garbage too. Play of the game, he has as his Gabriel Davis diving touchdown catch. Good call there. Yeah, what'd you guys think of that? We didn't bring that up, the Isaiah McKenzie blindside block. That was, at the time, and I saw it bang, bang, I'm like, oh, well, that makes sense. You can't do that. But the other moment, it was like he was running right towards Isaiah McKenzie. So there was no way that he couldn't see him because I think it was Zach Moss had the ball. He had the first down. It was a long run. And he was running right next to it. So it was just like the guy just clearly wasn't looking. It wasn't Isaiah McKenzie's fault. He didn't clearly try to take the guy's head off. I think it was a garbage call. Did you guys pretty much agree on that one?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, all right. Devin Brown writes into that when he said that Colin McKenzie was absurd. What even constitutes a downfield block now? It was funny, John Feliciano tweeted, it must have been from his living room because he's rehabbing his torn pectoral, but he wrote that it was just a garbage call too. I never saw Hyde's personal foul. They didn't show that one on instant replay. And in the instant replay that they did show of the actual play, Hyde wasn't anywhere near the ball or near a player. So it was just, that was a weird call as well. Normally the Bills aren't good enough to win after the refs screw them on a couple of calls like that, but this is a different team, man. Adam Talmadge is in. Adam writes Supreme. He writes Supreme Wall of Fame. Josh Allen. I didn't even know we had that category, but he's adding it. Supreme Wall of Fame. He has the Wall of Fame Diggs, the regular Wall of Fame. He has as Diggs and the wide receiver crew were incredible. Tyler Bass bounced back. Need him to hit everything today, and he did. We didn't mention Tyler Bass earlier, but Tyler Bass was 1 for 1 for 39 yards and 4 for 4 on extra points. So I guess you can take comfort in the fact that one field goal he did hit was longer than any field goal he's hit all season. So that's a trend in the right direction, and we definitely needed every single kick that he made today with as tight as the game was. He misses that one field goal attempt, and all of a sudden you're talking about the Bills possibly losing today. Wall of Shame, he writes Levi Wallace. He got exposed by Fitzmagic. He also writes the linebackers. Miami had their way in the red zone, or in the zone, and allowed them to pick up big gains. John Banks is back in again, and I'm going to read his because he also brings up the fact a very underrated Wall of Fame is Brian Daboll's faith. Josh missed the wide open digs on third down on the first drive, and Daboll dials it back up again. Same thing on the smoke touchdown. Missed the play before. Runs that shit back. Let's fucking go. Hashtag Bills Mafia. So great call by John Banks. I'm really, you know, we had that off-season podcast about, you know, the curious case of Brian Daboll. And it wasn't so much that he couldn't do it, it's just that he really hadn't done it. And then after talking with Joe Biscaglia in the off-season and saying, hey, Joe, you know, you watch the tape every week. You watch the Bills game plan. What is it with Brian Daboll? Is it the coaching? Is it the strategy that, you know, Daboll employs every week? Or is it the execution by his players or maybe the lack of talent he has? And Joe Biscaglia was like resolutely saying it was absolutely the execution by the players. It was not Brian Dable's play calling. So, you know, and you're seeing it. A lot of the Bills media are high on Brian Daboll. A lot of people that watch film are high on Brian Daboll. So, you know, it's showing. It's showing this season. And his confidence and faith in Josh Allen is huge. So thanks to John for bringing that up. Good call. Devin Brown is in. Wall of Fame is clearly Josh. Anyone still hating on him after today can't be taken seriously. The Wall of Shame is Levi Wallace. Poor bastard got beat like a drum all day. Amber is in. Amber writes in Wall of Fame, Josh and Diggs, Wall of Shame. Levi Wallace getting openly bullied and not being able to do anything about it. See, I now that like five people have brought up Levi Wallace, I didn't think he had a good game, but I didn't think he was absolutely terrible today. Now, one of those passes, he was like bumped off the route by like AJ Klein, and it ended up being a big gain for Gesicki on that one. I know Levi Wallace didn't have a great game, but I don't think he got absolutely abused. Did you guys see it that way for Levi Wallace? Because he clearly didn't make our Wall of Shame. So he struggled, but I didn't think he was the reason why the Bills defense was terrible. I thought it was more the middle of the field, not Levi Wallace's boundary receiver.
I think those are some good points on Levi. I think, you know, honestly, it's probably a bit of a combination of the two. But I don't think it was atrocious. I mean, I guess we'll see on the all 22, right? But yeah, I mean, there's some good points there.
Oh, I think it was Fitzpatrick had a really good game, carved up the zone coverage with the two starting linebackers out. Miami found the matchups and coverage and just exploited them, in my mind. I don't think we'll ever say Wallace is the best cornerback on the field, but I wouldn't put it all on him either.
Yeah, it wasn't, you know, the boundary receivers I thought that were just killing the Bills. You know, the boundary receivers being, in this game, the leading receivers, Isaiah Ford and Devontae Parker. It was just Mike Gesicki just crushing the Bills over the middle. The Bills just had no answer. And you can't give the wall of shame to like Tyrell Dodson or whoever, you know, should be in the middle covering this game, you know, covering the tight end, because those guys were out. The ones that normally do that were out, and you know that they would be playing a lot better going into that. Beanie,
do we know their status for next week?
No, I mean, we didn't know that they were going to be out until I believe Friday maybe. We didn't know they were going to be out. So up until that point, we didn't know. It's a good question. I have no idea. I think they were just taking it day to day, but we don't have a clue if they're going to be ready for this Sunday's game against the Rams, which is a great time to bring up the fact that the Buffalo Rumblings podcast network, all of the great shows on our podcast network, Jamie D and Big Newt, Rumblings Q&A, Breaking Buffalo Rumblings, Bruce Exclusive, Buff Hub. I mean, we'll have you believe, we'll have you all ready for that. So stay tuned to the podcast network, and we will update you on the Milano and Edmonds injuries as it goes on. Beanie writes, Wall of Fame, Allen obviously has a career-defining game, but also Bean, think about all our wide receivers compared to a few years ago. We have some talent. We have some serious talent now, which is a great point. I mean, what are you you're talking Josh Allen's first season, that was Kelvin Benjamin. Now, Kelvin Benjamin was traded for halfway through the season. So before that, it was Zay Jones, Jordan Matthews, and it wasn't Anquan Boldin because he retired like 10 days after signing with us. Yeah, it was a rough crowd. It was a rough crowd. Great point by Beanie. Wall of Shame, CBS in Miami weather, but Levi Wallace got beaten a few times. Also, I sure do miss Milano and Edmonds plugging up the middle. And that does it. Thank you guys so much for writing into our Wall of Famers and Wall of Shamers. We just, as a podcast network, this past week reached 1 million downloads for all of our shows here on the Buffalo Rumblings Podcast Network. So I just wanted to tip my cap to my colleagues on the podcast network. Wanted to get just slightly nostalgic because this is our fourth year podcasting together, Mike, John, and I as a group. Here's a quick quiz to you and to Mike and John. Do you guys know roughly, just give me a rough idea of how many podcasts we've recorded as Circling the Wagons, even before we joined Buffalo Rumblings? If you had a guess.
75.
Mike, over?
Over. 76, me.
It's about 150. About 150 episodes. You guys.
John must be having fun.
It seems like yesterday.
I was going to say about 1,200.
That's what it feels like, right? No, about 150, which is really cool. We joined Buffalo Rumblings. For those that don't know, we've got a lot of new listeners since we first started the podcast network. 2017 was our first season doing it. And man, we should maybe in the off season or something, we should release our very first podcast. Do you guys remember what it was about? It was such an obscure topic. It was in the off season of 2017 after McDermott became coach. Do you remember what our first episode was about? The theme? I remember the theme like it was yesterday, like the title of the podcast. No idea? That's okay. You don't? No idea, right?
Was it Back to the Future related?
A little bit. It had to do with that theme. It was not Back to the Future related. It might have been, actually. That might have been one of the themes of the podcast. But it was The Juice is Loose, in parentheses, again, because we were talking about O.J. Simpson being freed from jail. That was our first podcast together as a group. So that was pretty fun. I think I got the best podcasting advice ever from my like then 7-year-old nephew who was listening to it, because at the time it was just like, oh, it's a fun project. Like me and my friends are doing this. This is cool. You know, at the time we were excited to see, geez, like literally 20 downloads, and be like, dude, like I would text you guys updates during the day that week. Like, dude, like 20 people listened to this episode we did. Like, that's insane, right? Like, that's crazy. And so, like, you know, I had like a couple of family members listen, like give us some feedback. And I'll never forget my nephew, who was 7 years old at the time, said this was his constructive criticism. Nobody cares what kind of pizza you're eating. Podcast. And I told him to shut up. No, I'm just kidding. It was like, yeah. So as you can tell, we don't talk about what we're eating, what we're drinking. We've come a long way since then. We've talked to a lot of different people And yeah, I'm thankful that we have this thing going on with Buffalo Rumblings. We were the first podcast to start up the network. And then Matt started his own podcast right after to go along with the network of the Rumblings Q&A. So we started and we basically migrated over the network. And then, you know, a lot of podcasts have come and a few have gone. And yeah, it's been a really cool ride. It's a milestone for sure. Just want to let you guys all know that we appreciate you guys listening to this. This is fun to do. And yeah. So does anybody know what the Bills...
And OJ is still out looking for the killer. All these years later.
Hasn't found him yet, oddly enough.
No.
Hasn't found one other person.
He's checking every golf course.
He's also, you know, looking under every memorabilia shop because I see a lot of OJ memorabilia out there. He is definitely not at a memorabilia. You know what's funny is there's not been one other person with even close to a motive other than the scorned ex-husband.
To kill OJ's ex-wife.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that weird? do you guys know what the odds are for the Bills game against the Rams next week?
What do you think there, Nate? You're always quizzing us. Let's turn the tables on you.
So the Rams are traveling across the country to Buffalo, right? Or is it in LA? I can't remember.
Nope, they're in Buffalo.
In Buffalo. So the Rams are 2-0.
And the Rams' first game, right? Yeah, I was just going to tell you. I guess you know better than us. The Rams beat the Cowboys, right? 2017 first week, and then 37-19 this week against the Eagles.
Yeah, I don't know if the Eagles are a good team anymore. After losing to the football team. They lost to the football team in week one. So I wouldn't say that the Rams have a defining win. I mean, they did beat the Cowboys. The Cowboys are a good team, but that was in LA. I'm going to say the Rams are definitely going to be favored because I feel like there's still a bias against the Bills, and them just barely beating a bad Dolphins team won't help them. I'm going to say the Rams, you get 3 points for being a home team. I'm going to say the Rams are favored by one. John, what do you think?
If we're going closer to, I'm going to say it's a pick 'em.
Currently, the Bills are favored by 3.
Jeez, not even close. John, you weren't close either. It was just a point away.
Obviously, home game for the Bills, neutral site, it would be a pick 'em or a toss up game. But yeah, I'm surprised too.
That's awesome.
Especially we all, of course, are above the fray and have no bias. But we always think national media or bettors maybe don't see the Bills as much. Smaller market team maybe don't get the exposure. So I was surprised too, for sure. Maybe that's one to look at.
The Bills, if the Bills win next week against the Rams, watch the Bills to just fly up the power rankings to be 3-0 and actually have they beat an undefeated Rams team, even if it's in Buffalo and the Rams have to travel cross country. That's going to be, the Bills are going to be considered a top team, especially if Josh Allen looks almost as good as he did today, or in week one, as good as he looked week one. I mean, the Bills are going to be a top 10 team in the power rankings. Top five, maybe? Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, I think it's a real good barometer to see where we stand. Because we fully expected today's game, it felt like the Bills were in control, but it was, at the end of the day, a little bit closer than what we would have wanted. And like you alluded to earlier, they didn't cover the spread. So it's early, but you'd like to see them take care of business against the Rams for sure.
Yeah, even if they beat the Rams like they beat the Dolphins today, I still think that's a huge win. If they just barely win in the fourth quarter with a touchdown and, you know, to go up, and then, you know, even if the Rams drive, either way, yeah. Great call, Mike. So we're going to sign off. Thank you guys so much for listening. Like I said, keep it locked into the Buffalo Rumblings Podcast Network. I almost forgot the giveaways. I can't believe I almost forgot the giveaways. So we have 4 giveaways going on right now. We have on Instagram, CTW Pod, like Circling the Wagons Pod, we are doing a giveaway for a 24x16 walnut cutting board that has a Bills logo on it. That is from our buddy at Graham Woodworking, and he's doing this contest. Just scroll through our pictures and just tag 2 Bills fans for that, and we are doing a drawing on Monday for that, Monday night. So get in on that. We are doing an Andre Reed signed jersey giveaway on Twitter, so find us on Twitter. at CTW Pod, like Circling the Wagons Pod, and search for that and retweet it and tag two Bills fans. And then we also have our podcast specific giveaways. These are the giveaways that we only do for our podcast listeners. If you leave us a 5-star review, leave us your Twitter or Instagram or Facebook handle, and on there, leave us a review mentioning CTW Pod, Circling the Wagons, whatever. And also, like I always mention, leave a review for one of the other shows or all of the other shows in our great podcast network. And we'll put you in a list. We have some giveaways to do. We still have that black signed John Brown jersey, and I'm also going to give away a Devin Singletary jersey today that we just recently got. So I'm going to give two names now. The first one to get back to me gets their choice of the John Brown jersey or the Devin Singletary jersey. So the first winner is Meg Believer. That's M-E-G Believer. I believe that is Meg from the Wall of Fame and Wall of Shame Twitter contest. So Meg, if that is you, please message us as soon as you can. Let us know if you want the John Brown or Devin Singletary jersey. And then the next winner is Mark H 1010101. So he is the other winner of this contest. So Mark H 1010101, you are the other winner. So the first person to get back to me gets their choice, and the other one still gets an awesome jersey. So thank you guys so much for listening. Keep it locked into the Buffalo Rumblings Podcast Network. And we're going to sign off. The next time we talk to you, hopefully we're talking to you about the Bills being 3-0. So for John.
Let's go, Bills. 16-0 Super Bowl. Josh Allen, Hall of Fame. Sean McDermott, Brandon Bean. Let's go, Bills.
For Mike.
Being undefeated feels great. Fun to be a Bills fan.
For me, Nate. LA is going down. Gary. Hopefully we're 3-0 by the time we're talking to you next week. Go Bills.
Thank you for listening to the Circling the Wagons podcast. Download and subscribe to us in your favorite podcast service. Email us at ctwpod@gmail.com. That's Charlie Tango Whiskey Pod at gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at ctwpod. And most importantly, go Bills!
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.